thank you for the attention, but you know, I think I will say no. I would like to spend some time figuring things out, you know, travel, look around, understand how things are connected. Anyway, thank you. Thank you so much for the offer. You know, you can have my other shoe, and you can try walking in them yourself, you know, try to walk in them.
From the middle of the leg and all the way, almost up to the neck, the seam was destroyed. So the dress was split in two and made visible every blemish that you in good faith thought were well hidden from all eyes that night. This did not happen in the countryside where there were few people to see, nor at home in a private company, but in the midst of the then obligatory place to go, if you consider yourself to be cool. They went on Friday nights, standing in a year-long queue to enter and feel the twinkling lights and the throbbing bass. Inside it was all dark with lilac stripes, and the bodies were in clusters. Occasionally you could see and hear each other talk. And to top it all, nobody said anything. They just glowed, stared. Maybe they couldn't believe their own eyes.
Anyway, how to start artistic research?
Well, did people stare at you a lot? The chef asked as she returned.
I didn't see if they stared,
she replied. Dare you. I was 20 years old, shy, and going out on town. I was going to the place you went at that time. After being reasonably quiet and isolated both through childhood and youth, the spirit came over me as I turned 18 and I embarked on a social rush project. I needed something to wear. I needed a dress. I needed a fairy good mother who could come and hit me with a stick. I have a sister, and at that time she was training for becoming tailor. She made a number of dresses. And just that day, there was this nice dress stretched out on her bed to the right of the room if you were standing in the doorway. I didn't know then that it was put there for a particular reason. The dress, beautifully made by my sister, black with thin white stripes and a good cut, fit perfectly for my social project. I put it on me, it sat properly, and I went to town. I went to dance and amused myself, and so did others I could see. Then came the time when one should visit the toilet, not only to do the necessary thing, but also, you know, to inspect oneself, if I may say so. And I stood in front of the mirror and I decided to see how I was looking from behind, because here was the mirror on the wall where I could observe the whole body from multiple angles, both up and down. I had not been given this opportunity earlier that night. I turned and looked straight at my black underwear that I was wearing, a slightly random chosen underwear. My sister had put the dress aside because it needed a heavy repair. It was jammed all the way to the middle of the back. Arming, fighting, traveling, messenger scene, dialogue, sacrifice, meal. In a previous post, I said that one of the features of artistic research is that it must include, among other things, an artistic practice an artistic product, and a theoretical reflection. According to the authors Mika Hanula, Juha Soranta, and Tere Vadén, artistic research means that you create art and research on the creative process. Artistic research is practice-based and practice-driven research within contemporary cultural and artistic fields.
Artistic research is practice-based and practice-driven research within contemporary cultural and artistic fields.
The authors further argue that it is important for the artistic researcher to have the freedom and opportunity to build up a practice-based knowledge. It should be an open and inclusive research. However, they recognize the problematic with artistic research, such as being recognized or not being recognized as an artistic researcher, the various discourses within artistic research, and the conceptual confusion.
Because it can be a bit like standing on a disco, you know, not being aware that the dress is slightly ruined and showing, yes, you know what I mean.
Hanula and the co-authors believe one should defend and be tolerant for what seems different, like, you know, the anarchy of methods, as they call it. Artistic research is dominated by methodological pluralism.
It's a very difficult word to say in English, I have to say, so I have to try it one more time. Methodological pluralism.
And it is important that the knowledge it brings is conveyed beyond the actual production of art.
Dan Serig
adds one more component. Artistic research also focuses on higher education and arts education, meaning the teaching that you carry out. The research you do as an artistic researcher should influence your teaching. With this, it is a principle that in order for you to be able to do artistic research, you must be affiliated with a higher education or a research institute. In a kingdom, it was naturally a king, otherwise it would not have been a kingdom. The king was a widower, the queen was dead long ago. The king was powerful with counselors who obeyed his slightest wink and with servants who obeyed his slightest blink. There were more than enough women who wanted to lay flat for the king, but the king did not find one he liked. One day, the king stood and looked out of the window, stroking his beard, holding his pipe, as he watched his daughter walking with her hips towards the stable to get a horse. The king, letting his eyes and body follow the daughter as she almost danced when she was walking. A drop of sweat settled between the king's eyebrows. The king blushed, dropped his pipe, and called for a counselor. Dan Serig. He continues writing that all artistic activity is, in a sense, about research. But artistic research requires a presence of peer review and not least dissemination of the results. Artistic research is not only about developing your own competence, but also the competence of the field. Serig therefore believes that when you start with artistic research, you have to check out the following. Does the theme relate to art education?
Does it bring new knowledge?
And will it affect your professional practice?
Will the proceeds be part of a dialogue with both contemporary art and teaching art?
Are you prepared and can you handle a methodical transparency? And then you have to make sure that all the practical framework is in place. For instance, like having rooms to work in and support from the institution you work or study at. Furthermore, the artistic researcher must relate to and disseminate within the discourses one works within or into. You have to be relevant in the research you do. The folktale I have included in this post is called The Girl and the Crowskin Dress. It is collected by Moltke Mo and is published in a booklet called Folktales from Flatdal. The theme that I illustrate artistic research with is women and memories, where I look at female protagonists in narratives. My main story that I work on is Tatterhood, or Lurvehette, as I call it in Norwegian. But one of the methods I use is intertextuality, where I use both my own memories and folk memories, with which I compare and study Lurvehette through.
Intertextuality
is a natural method for a storyteller to use, because the storyteller often relates to several variations of a folktale. And very generally, one can say that intertextuality is about how a narrative speaks to other narratives. Thus, one of the methods I use is something I call the intertextual method. This method is based on the fact that I use 7 fixed scenes, which in turn are inspired by the bardic tradition. The scenes are
arming,
fighting,
traveling,
messenger
scene,
dialogue, and
sacrifice.
These scenes I locate in the story I work with, and then I find similar scenes from other stories and my own life. This is actually one of the first things I do when starting a process. So, if the scene is sacrifice, I can use the scene where the daughter gets a specific message from a father in the story about the crowskin. The king leaned forward and said,
"There, daughter, you have grown up and you will have a groom. Shortly we will celebrate a wedding. Your chest is full and your hips are wide. You will be a joy of a bride. In this kingdom I am Adam and you Eve. So, daughter, you are definitely my new queen and I'm your king."
The scene fills me with a kind of fear, and can be compared to the scene in Lurvehette, where the sister is sort of stripped off her head by trolls, and Lurvehette has to fight the trolls. Both scenes are about fear, but manifest themselves in a different way. For example, the first scene might have a more psychological fear and time goes slow, but the second scene is a more physical fear and perhaps more fast forward. In the last scene, the cultural memory tells us that Lurvehette will win, because we know that humans always win over trolls. But the first scene seems a sort of more realistic and gives us other associations. I fear what kind of rumor I would get in the aftermath of the dress, sacrificing the honor of my youth. I have gone and shown my underwear at the toughest and roughest place in town. Would people point to me in window reflections and say, "Oh, there she is, the one who shows her underwear every so often?" I mention now 3 sacrifice scenes. What about you? Do you have a situation related to sacrifice you can add? Let me take you back to the story. The king was standing by the window. The counselor came. The king wiped the sweat from his forehead and said, "We must change the laws. Now it must be allowed to let close relatives marry one another." "Then the law is changed from now," replied the counselor, scratching and bowing. The king nodded and the counselor nodded. When the daughter arrived back home that evening, she was called to the king's high seat There, the counselor and the advisor sat with serious looks, and the flames in the candles flickered uneasily.
The advisor had serious looks, and the flames were burning, serious looks, and the flames...
She stood before her father, nodded, and saluted her father, the king, the majesty, the ruler. The king raised his hand and saluted back. In the red room, shadows were leaning against the walls, but the king's shadow was greatest and even bigger as he leaned forward.
The king leaned forward.
The king leaned forward and said, "Fair daughter, you have grown, and you will have a groom. Shortly we will celebrate our wedding. Your chest is full. Your hips are wide. You will be a joy of a bride. In this kingdom I am Adam and you Eve. So daughter, you are definitely my new queen and I am your king." The daughter stiffened.
A marriage? With a... He had not been in the hall.
The silence was a poisonous snake sneaking around the room, spewing out poisonous delights. No one had the courage to speak out against the king. She looked around, but it wasn't a look to meet.
Hands folded under the table, afraid they would reveal the rhythmic restlessness.
The king sat relaxed in the high seat, poking with a stick in his teeth. The silence, the snake, emptied the room of air, and the daughter was pale.
I will give you what you need for the wedding,
the king said. Give me 3 days to think. She curtsied, and he nodded. She turned, he smiled. Well, she didn't know where to go, because in what direction could the rescue lie? A crow landed at her feet and hit the beak along the ground. She went to her room and the crow flew away. The first night, when the stars shone brightly at the sky, he knocked gently on her door and her father whispered her name. She pretended to be asleep, but no sleep sang sweetly to her. The other night, when the moon was about to get full, he knocked on her door and said her name. She did not answer. She hid in the corner of the bed. The third night, as the sun was about to go down and cast a red light into the room, the king opened the door and entered the room.
"Daughter, give me an answer of what you need for the wedding."
"Tomorrow, Father King." Early next morning, she went out into the garden. There, an elderly woman met her. She had long grey hair in a ponytail, and she spoke to the girl in a squeaky voice. "What's wrong with you, my child?" said the elder. "Tell, and I can give you a good advice." Crying, she told all that had happened. "Oh, don't cry, don't worry. Ask the king for a dress like the stars, a dress like the moon, a dress like the sunset.
And then you ask for a crow skin.
If he can give you this, you bring the dresses with you into this garden." She immediately went to the father and asked for the dresses. The father drummed his finger and replied that it was not a problem. The best tailors and sewers were sent after, who immediately measured her and sent for spinners and weavers, who in turn sent messages to sheep farmers, merchants and hunters. Crows were slaughtered and sold at a high price. Sheep were cut, wool carded, spun and woven. Merchants carried fabrics from distant regions with the most beautiful colors.
No one understood why she wanted a dress of crow skin, but perhaps there was a ritual they didn't know about.
When 3 times 3 days had passed, the 4 dresses were presented to her. She took all 4 of them and sneaked out into the garden where the trees now were standing with buds. But the birds had left it, and it was not a crow to see. Well, a crow would soon appear. "Maybe you're out walking now. Or maybe next time when you're out walking, try to study a crow. And why not simply make a crowing sound now?" In Norwegian we would say, "kra, kra." Out in the garden stood a grey horse with a long mane. That was the old woman. It nodded the head, signalling her to sit on the horse's back. She put on the crow-skin dress and no longer resembled herself but a strange bird. She sat on the horse and then he went off. She did not look back. She rode and they travelled and took no rest, but moved over hills and moors until he came to a foreign kingdom. There she was, a bird that had escaped from the cage, and you can imagine how it felt. In the beginning, when I embark on a project that could potentially become an artistic research project, I often base myself on an impulse that I try out in relation to my own interest and professional development and what it does to the field. In other words, it is not enough that I have an interest in this myself. I also have a professional responsibility, and besides, it must have a social relevance and it should lead to changes in my practice and teaching. I do not necessarily start with a research question. It comes up along the way as I begin working. Personally, I make a distinction between the exploration process and the research process. It makes it easier for me to sort within the methods, that some methods are linked to the development of a concept or a performance and some methods are research methods. Of course, this may slip into each other, but still I need to sort through the process. I do not yet have a research question, but an interest field. I have a long experience in processes, and I trust that I can dwell a little in the field of interest, and then a clearer narrowing will emerge. At the same time, I see it as essential to constantly ask questions in, about, and about the process I'm going into. This helps to lay a groundwork for critical thinking. In the beginning, there are three questions I ask myself that encourage me to form a framework for further exploration and research. First question: why is it important for me to implement this, and what kind of competence, skills and knowledge do I want to develop? Question 2. What does this mean for the field, students and professionals, that I carry out such a project? Question 3. Where is the social relevance of such a project? To sum it up briefly, as I embark on a project, I follow a special field of interest with which I ask three questions. So why is this important to me? My starting point for the theme, Women and Memories, comes from my work on Norse poetry. In working with ancient sagas, I discovered that in the male-dominated structures lay female destinies that were unresolved. I looked through my own repertoire of stories and discovered that there were few stories with female protagonists. I identified with stories with men. At first glance, I thought it was because I never had been concerned about girl things, if this can be called that at all. For example, I have not played with dolls as a child, at least not to any great extent. Such a project gives me a larger repertoire, and I can get an overview of what is found in traditional stories with female protagonists. Furthermore, I'm afraid of forgetting. As a storyteller, I'm addicted to memory, but I'm also afraid to forget on a personal level. My son died a few years ago, and I'm afraid of forgetting who he was. Knowledge of memory is important in many disciplines and is therefore transferable. What does this mean for the field? Folk tales and gender roles are discussed area in oral storytelling. In other words, there is already a discourse attached to this. I also have experience with students who do not want to tell folk tales because female roles are perceived as weak and unmanageable. Working with memories is also a technical skill that should be explored further to create a good teaching program. Then there was the social relevance. In a larger perspective, the role of women in society is constantly under debate and rights are repeatedly under threats. The rights we take for granted in Norway are still defective in other countries. With social media, new gender debates have emerged, and view on gender may seem to be taking the steps backwards, where representative stereotypes are highlighted through click-friendly images. These are the reflections that currently based on views and loose experiences, but which I still consider to be an important part of the process. Close to the castle, there was a small house where the two settled. The horse was a horse during the day and went out to graze. In the evening, she was a woman tending the house. "Oh, you may go to the castle and get a job," she told the woman in crow skin dress. She went to the castle and worked in the kitchen. There she lay on the floor, scrubbing and rubbing so everything was spotless and shiny. When Sunday arrived, people were getting ready to go to church. She asked to join. "The way you look, then people will think that Satan himself is among them. Why are you going to church?" the chef asked. "No, sit still and do not go out among people." But she ran to the house and put on a dress that shone like stars and rode to the church. Everyone glared at her, and no one listened to the priest. The king's son could not help but stare over his shoulder. When she left, he would follow, but the horse was too fast.
"Well, did people stare at you?" the chef asked as she returned. "I didn't see if they stared," she replied.
The Sunday after, it went like the first one. She ran down to the house and put on a dress that resembled the moon and rode to the church. Everyone glared at her, and no one heard what the priest preached. The king's son followed her when she left, but the horse was too fast. The horse whipped its tail in his face. "Well, did people stare a lot on you?" the chef. "And she? I didn't look." On the third Sunday, she wore the dress that looked like the sun. This time, the king's son was quick and grabbed one of her shoes. The king's son had now been given the key to love, marriage and the like. He was supposed to find a virgin who owned the shoe. So all the women had to try the shoe, but no one would fit the shoe. Then there was only one left, and you know who that was. The woman with the crab skin. He came to her. "I have to try the shoe on you, as there is no one left. Do you think that will fit me?" she asked. She lifted the crow's dress so he could see the fine dress underneath. He was happy. And then there was a party. That's how the folk tale ends. But I don't believe in it. I prefer that she say, "You know, thank you, but no thank you. I think I will spend a little time on my own, travel, look around, understand how things are connected. But thank you for your kindness, and you know, I will give you my other shoe, and you can try to walk in them yourself."
"Thank you for the attention, but you know, I think I will say no. I would like to spend some time figuring things out, you know, travel, look around, understand how things are connected. Anyway, thank you. Thank you so much for the offer. You know, you can have my other shoe, and you can try walking in them yourself, you know, try to walk in them."